Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 9. Matthew, chapter 9. We'll read verses 1 through 8 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Matthew, chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk? But that he may know that the Son of Man hath power on the earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitudes saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us. Thank you for the fact that your presence is here and your spirit is here. And Father, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in this room. Lord, we need you. There's no way that one person alone could meet those needs. But I'm so thankful we have a great God that can meet every need. Now, Father, please give our preacher your power as he preaches. Give us your power as we listen so that we might walk away from here a lot less like ourselves and a little bit more like you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
If you don't know, that is a family, a mom, her son, and daughter-in-law. And we sure are glad to have families as such here in our church. We live in a society of defeated people. I see so many people that just have a defeated attitude. Whatever happened to people that had grit in their crawl? Whatever happened to people who believe when the going gets tough, the tough get going? Whatever happened to folks that said, well, I might have been knocked down, but I'm not knocked out? We used to believe a winner never quits and a quitter never wins. What happened to us? You know, winners do what losers won't. Whatever happened to that attitude, I'm going to do it or die trying? We've kind of lost our do or die attitude in Christianity. Now even the world is worse. And I would hate to think that somebody in the world that has a bad cause would have a do-or-die attitude that would put to shame many Christians that have a cause worthy of our death, if necessary. In the passage of Scripture we read earlier, we see a story of about a man who was crippled. And to get ahead of myself a bit here, he ends up arising and walking. Why, I like that. Somebody was down getting up. Now, you know, I may not be able to heal a crippled man from his crutches, but I can help those of us who have been knocked down spiritually to get up and try again. And just so you know, and you'll find here, you never wonder what I mean. I usually say what I mean. I'm not for all this phony baloney of faith healing garbage that's all over the television, just so you know. If my convictions begin to bleed through, you'll know it. God is the healer. And God does a lot of healing. But I believe that we need some healing in regard to our courage. I think Christians in America need to rise up and get some confidence again about who they are and whose they are and what they can accomplish. In this story, Jesus enters a ship to sail to Capernaum. After getting into town, they bring him a man That man had basically been bedridden, and for a man that was sick of the palsy, that means that he had paralyzation probably in his legs. If a man were going to get around at all, he would have used crutches or maybe like a walker. Let me show you what I mean. The man's lower body would have been paralyzed, and he would have had to scoot along using crutches. The Bible says that they bring this man to Jesus Christ, and the first thing that Jesus notices about this man was that in the man's heart, the man immediately wanted to trust Jesus Christ as his Savior. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But it says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness." And so Jesus makes a comment. He sees the man's faith and he says, "Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven thee." Now what was happening there? A man approached him. He needed to be born again. And I believe Jesus saw the faith of the man and what was in that man's heart. Jesus said, "I'm going to save you." The religious people got upset with that. You're going to find out anything that a religious person doesn't personally want to live is going to bother them when it's preached. There's a difference between being religious and being spiritual. Religion's everywhere. Spiritual is something that comes from the Bible and the God of the universe. Oh, so they got all upset with that. Jesus saved this person. The Bible says in verse number 4 that Jesus knew their thoughts. He said, "Ye think evil in your hearts." Then in verse number 5, he asked them, he said, "For whether is it easier to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and walk?'" And then Jesus really ticked them off. Then he said to the crippled man, "Arise and walk." That really frustrated them. Why? Well, they weren't doing anything for God. And anytime somebody's doing something, those that are not doing anything have one of two choices. They either do something or they try to tear down the person that's trying to do something. It's great. It always works. Jesus said, "Arise and walk," and he heals this man to go on and live a victorious life. He first of all healed him spiritually, got him born again. Secondly, he said, "Now I want you to get out there and make something of yourself. So you throw down those crutches and you go do something now." You know, there are Christians everywhere that have been knocked down spiritually. We seem to find ourselves from time to time crippled by things. They slow us down. But I love those words of Jesus Christ. Arise and walk. Arise and walk. You know what we need? We need somebody every once in a while to say to us, "Christian, arise and walk. Go do something with yourself. Get up. Quit having a pity party. Don't be a whiny baby. Get up and do something with yourself." We need to hear someone say, "Get up. Don't listen to the devil who says, 'Stay down.'" You ought to be the kind of person that says to other Christians, "Get up. Get up. Get up." Don't be the kind of person where your attitude and your treatment of them makes them want to stay down. Stay down. Stay down. Have you been hobbling along on crutches spiritually? Not making much progress in your Christian life? Not accomplishing much? Well, don't you let the devil keep you down. Arise and walk. Arise and walk, Christian. You listen, courage is not defined by those who fought and did not fall. Courage is defined by those who fought, fell, and rose again. We're all going to get knocked down some. Why? We're humans and we're sinners. But I challenge you today, wherever you're at in your Christian life, arise and walk. Arise and walk, Christian. Arise. Get up. Don't stay down. Try again. It's worthwhile. You can do it. You can do it with God's help. And I challenge you today to arise and walk. Those of you who have been knocked down by the devil, arise and walk. John 8:44 says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." The devil sure does hurt us sometimes, doesn't he? He comes to us in his own deceptive way. The devil, he's one that throws sucker punches, you know. You're not waiting. You're not watching for it. He'll hit you when you're not watching. He'll hit you when you least most expect it. And I really believe there are people in this auditorium today, the devil, he sucker punched you. He hit you. And you fell to your knees a little bit. Maybe you fell back. Maybe spiritually, you're just kind of balancing on those crutches. Let me tell you something. The devil's a dirt ball. You know what you need to do? There's some of you, you don't depend forever on those crutches. You know what some of you need to do? You need to say, "That's it. I'm done. I'm getting up here. The devil, he knocked me down, but I'm getting up." Toss away the crutches. Get up on your feet. The devil's a liar, and he'll try to convince you to stay down. He'll say, "Oh, you're worthless. You can't do it. You're not going to make it. What could God do with you?" Now, the devil's a liar. He wants to use you. He wants to abuse you. God has a plan for your life. It is the devil who tries to keep us from God. It is the devil that steals away our personal victory. It is the devil that abuses our potential. It is the devil that cheats us out of our abilities. It is the devil that robs us of our accomplishments. Now I say to you, arise and walk. Those of you who've been knocked down by the devil, you don't have to stay down. How long are you going to lie there? How long are you going to allow the devil to strike you into staying down? Now you get up. You get up. You do something with your life. Cancel the pity party. Decide to make something of yourself. What is it that the devil has used to keep you crippled? What is it that caused you to be like the palsied man? You just kind of feel numb spiritually. What is it that has held you back? Whatever it is, toss it aside and decide, "I'm getting up." For somebody today, you could get up on your feet and go make something of yourself spiritually. I knew a young man who had been fooled by the devil. I won't mention his name. Somebody here may know him, though it did not happen here in West Virginia. Young man had been reared in a Christian school. He knew the Bible. He was a saved young man. He'd been reared by a godly daddy and a godly mama. He'd been in a church where the preacher was not afraid to take a stand and to tell the truth and to preach it straight. And somehow this young man got off track. And somehow he ended up finding himself in places no young man should be saved or lost, doing things no young man should have done. Before you knew it, he was with the wrong crowd. Before you knew it, he was doing wrong things. And before you knew it, he'd messed up his life. And before you knew it, he was in jail and heading toward prison. Me and another man on the pastoral staff at the church went out to see him. His life was a mess. He was looking at a sentence in prison. We went to see him and he said, "But Owens, I just don't see how I can make anything good of my life now. But Owens, I just don't see how I could ever make a difference for good." I said, "Young man, place your hand on your chest." He said, "Why?" I said, "Just place your hand on your chest." I said, "Breathe." I said, "Are you alive?" He said, "What? Wait, yes, I am." I said, "As long as you're alive, you can still make a difference. God did not leave you here breathing and a heart beating for you to waste the rest of your life. Rise up, young man. You can turn this thing around." And I virtually watched him throw those crutches aside that day in the jailhouse. And today, he's out preaching the gospel, making a difference. Why? The devil had shot him in the chin and he had fallen to his knees and he wasn't sure he could get back up. He just needed somebody to say, "Arise and walk." Those of you that have been attacked by the devil, How about you, Christian? What is it? What's happened in your life? The devil's attacked you. It's knocked you down. And you feel like the palsied man. You feel crippled. You wonder, do I have the energy to get up? Well, you add your energy to the energy of God that is available to you through the person of the Holy Spirit who was sealed in you the day that you got born again. You take His energy, add it to your energy, and you can get up. Climb up, Christian. Rise up, Christian. I challenge you, arise and walk. Secondly, arise and walk, those of you who have been knocked down by yourself. 2 Timothy 2:25, the Bible says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. I would like to reveal to you my biggest human enemy today. Listen carefully. I'm going to give you the name of the person that hurts me more than anybody else on the face of this earth. Listen carefully. I know my tapes go all around the world, 18,000 of them distributed last year alone. Listen, I want everyone in America to know who my greatest enemy is, humanly speaking. His name is Jeff Owens. Well, I have a hard time with me. I have a pretty tough time keeping me in place. I'm the one that ruins my attitude. I'm the one that is convinced by the devil that I can't when God said I could. You ever struggle with the same person I do? And I'm not talking about me.
Somebody said, yeah, Brother Warren, I'm struggling with you more than anybody right now.
When I find myself powerless, it is so often the result of me. Me, I did not do what I should have done. Most of the people that sit in this building are spiritually educated. And you really don't need a whole lot more training. We need a little more toughness to require of ourselves what it takes to get the job done. You knocked yourself down. Huh. I wonder, are you looking at the mess that your life is in and you're saying to yourself, I knew better. I was trained better. I knew what it took to succeed. I was told how you fail. I went the wrong path. I've done this to myself. But let me tell you something. It's not too late. And maybe you got yourself into this mess. Maybe as you look back at it, you say, "What? What's wrong with me? What was I thinking? Why in the world?" I wonder how many times I've said that to myself. What was I thinking? Or what was I not thinking? Let me tell you something. Even if your struggle is self-inflicted, you know what you need to do? You've been knocked back. You're paralyzed. It's time for some of you to throw those crutches away. Get up and go do something with your life. Okay, you did it to you. You knew better. You allowed yourself to get away from God and get away from those things that will help us to be a success. And you are embarrassed at your failure. You're embarrassed at your behavior. And that's exactly where the devil wants you, and he wants to keep you there. You know something? Right before the crucifixion came, the Apostle Peter was with Jesus, and Jesus had said to Peter, "Now, Peter, you're going to deny me. You're going to deny me more than once." And Peter said, "Oh, not me. No way. Not me." And within hours, Peter denies Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I know what I'm talking about. You're going to do it." Peter's arrogance, pride, says, "Not me, no way. I'm not going to deny you." Peter says, "I don't know him." Within moments, he denies even knowing Christ. He curses, throws a little fit. He's become ashamed of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but had that been me, I would have been knocked to my knees spiritually. And I'm sure Peter went through a time, and if you know the Bible, he did. He went through a little time, and he got discouraged. He said, "I was told what to do. I was told what was going to happen. My pride had risen up in my life. As a result of it, I denied the Savior." He was recorded in the Word of God forever for denying Christ. Let me tell you something. Wasn't long until there was a day approaching called the Day of Pentecost. Now, to be honest with you, I believe Peter was spending a lot of time on some crutches. He had denied Christ and is kind of probably hobbling along, afraid to speak up, afraid to commit himself because he had made such a blunder. But boy, the day of Pentecost was approaching, and I think God looked down and said, you know what? I'm looking for somebody that gets knocked down that can get back up. Is there anybody out there that's got the tenacity of a bulldog that I could call upon, and maybe they have failed some, but they're not the kind of people that get knocked down and stay? And had there been a little conversation going on between Peter and God, and God said, I need a big whopping day down at the church house. We're going to get all sorts of people saved. It's going to go down in history. Let's see if I can find anybody. And I imagine Peter said, well, Lord, you know me. I blew it. I denied you. And God said, Peter, are you willing to get up and try again? Peter said, God, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to drop these babies right here, and we're going to make something happen. The day of Pentecost came. Peter probably climbed up in the back of a pickup truck. 3,000 people popped down the tailgate. He started preaching away and 3,000 people got saved. Now, he had just denied Jesus Christ a few days before. Arise and walk, even if your problem is self-inflicted. Self-inflicted failures. We need to rise and walk. So those of you who've been knocked down by the devil, arise and walk. Those of you who have knocked yourself down, arise and walk. Arise and walk, those of you who have been knocked down by others. The Bible says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. Oh, but the problem is not everybody is like that. There are those that will actually knock us down. Has someone hurt you? You did not expect it. Much like the devil, you were sucker punched by some human being. It happened. And it knocked you down. It discouraged you in your Christian life. It brought some paralyzation to what you could or would have done for God. I know a Christian businessman. He had yoked up with another man and another Christian man. They were working together in business and seemingly successful. This particular man had taken his entire retirement and invested it into the business with a younger man. I mean, I just spoke to this man 2 weeks ago. Let me tell you what happened. The younger man embezzled the full amount of the value of the company and left the state completely. This other Christian businessman, he now has no retirement but a minimal amount. He gave everything to a business and now he has been betrayed. We talked. I said, what are you going to do? He said, I don't think I can do anything. I said, wrong. Get up. Get up. Don't lie there and cry. You can whine all you want, but it's not going to do you any good. You go make something happen. He said, Brother Owens, I knew if I brought it up to you, I was in trouble. He said, I also knew what you'd tell me. He said, I've been looking for somebody to tell me to get going and make something happen. He said, I'm going to build a business by myself. I'm going to figure out a way, but I'm not going to die. He said, I'm not as young as what I used to be, but I'm going to go do something. Let me tell you something. There are people, even our Christian brothers, that will betray us and they'll let us down. But let me tell you something. God wants you to arise and walk. Arise and walk. Some of you need to toss away those crutches. You've been knocked down by somebody else. Young people, so many times, virtually get knocked down by their parents. You say, what do you mean? Oh, young people try to serve the Lord and their parents don't want them to. I wonder how many parents are embarrassed by their their child's commitment to God, and therefore the parent would prefer the child not to serve God. Wonder how many young people watch their parents live phony at home, go to church and act religious, and the child says, evidently, this is all just a big game. We go to church and play the religious game, and then we go home and live like a bunch of animals, and the child is discouraged and knocked down. Every young person that's under the sound of my voice today, it is real. The Bible is real. God is real. You're really supposed to live it. Rise up, young people. You serve God with your life. Arise and walk. There's some lady here today. You've been hurt. Maybe betrayed. Maybe betrayed by your husband. And as a result of it, you have stopped serving God like you should. You're wounded. Your spirit is down. Let me challenge you today. Get up. Get up. I cannot fix the pain that's come from another, but I can do this. I can help you to gain a victorious life. Don't you lay there forever. Don't you mourn forever. You get up and you go do something with your life. Under the sound of my voice today, I'm sure there is some man. You too have been betrayed. Maybe somebody walked out on you. Maybe somebody hurt you. Maybe your wife. Get up. Get up. The devil wants to slow us down. He wants to stop us. Whatever happened to those people that had some grit in their crawl? Whatever happened to those people that said, I may be knocked down, but I'm not knocked out? Whatever happened to the kind of people that said, winners never quit and quitters never win? Hey, rise up! And like Jesus said to that crippled man, arise and walk! And he did. And that's what you need to do today. Somebody knocks you down. Get up! Maybe some leader. Maybe some leader, maybe someone that had influence over you, made you believe you were worthless, belittled you, made you feel as if you could not be a success. Get up. Get up. Make something of yourself. Arise and walk, Christian. Arise and walk, those of you who have been knocked down by the devil. Arise and walk, those of you who have been knocked down by yourself. Arise and walk, those of you that have been knocked down by others. Let me tell you something, folks. You're going to go through life over and over and over again, and you're going to find those that would knock you down. They would knock you down, some knowingly, others mistakenly. But you know what you've always got to do? You've always got to come to yourself and say, I'm going to get up and I'm going to try again. You know how you learn to ride a bicycle? You start out and you have them training wheels. I can remember I had a trike, had a little horn on it. You know, had a little horn. Then I moved up and I got my bike with training wheels. I'll never forget. I wanted to get them training wheels off that bike because no real man has training wheels. I remember saying to my dad, Dad, we got to get these training wheels off. My dad said, okay, I'll help you. And I can remember I got on that bike. I remember taking off pedaling. And I don't know if your dad did it the way my dad did it, but he'd run behind me hanging onto the seat. Boy, I was wobbling all over the place. And I'd say, I got it, Dad, I got it. And then he'd let go. I'd go, whoosh. I'd be laying there going, oh, I'm going to die. My mom would come running. My dad'd say, ha! That's too many baby boys around here. We need some men raising their boys again. Ha! Well, mom would go, whoa. I would have never learned to ride my bike had my dad not saved me from my mom. You'd have a pastor that'd have on his spot out here, Dr. Jeff Owens, and a bike with training wheels pulling in. Boy, I'd get up on that bike again, bloody mess, beaten, bruised. I'd climb up there, rub my butt. I'd take off pedaling. Dad would be running behind me. I'd say, all right, Dad, let her fly. I'd take a couple pedals and bang, smashing things. That's how you women learn to drive.
By the way, I don't have to be politically correct in my pulpit.
Oh, wow. I can remember time and time again. You know how I learned to ride a bicycle? I rode, and I crashed, and I got up. I rode a little while, and I crashed, and I got up. And I rode again, and I crashed, and I got up. And every time, I was able to get that pedal a little further, and then a little further, and a little further. And I can remember the day that my dad was running behind me, and he was running so fast, he could hardly keep up. I just usually, Dad would say, okay, I'm letting go. This time, Dad didn't say a word. I was pedaling along, still talking to him. Dad, it's going really well. In a moment, you can let go. I looked back, he was about a half a block back. I was riding my bike, and let me tell you something. I can still ride a bike today. I learned how to ride it when I was just a young boy. I'm 44 years old today. I can still ride a bike. I can climb on it today, and I don't even need my dad. Get up.
Right.
Climb back in the saddle.
Yes.
Arise and walk, Christian. Arise and walk, those of you who have been knocked down by others. Arise and walk, those of you who have seen your dreams knocked down. Satan is a dream destroyer. He'll take your dreams. He'll destroy them. He hopes that you'll sit there on the ground with a puddle of melted dreams and that you'll just watch the puddle for the rest of your life. Satan is an opportunity oppressor. He'll take the opportunity for success that come your way. He wants to oppress them. He wants to push them down. Push them away from you. Satan is a desire demolisher. He'll take the desires that God puts in your heart for success. He'll try to demolish them, like going to a building with a demolition crew. He tries to demolish what God would build in your life. He's an energy exterminator.
Right.
He wants to exterminate all the spiritual energy out of your life. He's a vision vandalizer. He'll come and take the vision that you have for doing something great with your life, the vision that you had for your marriage, and the vision that you had for your family, and the vision that you had for your business, and the vision that you had for doing something great for God. He comes, and in the night, like some rebel vandal, he comes with spray paint cans and writes all over your vision, "You can't do it. You're useless. You're a failure." He comes and he destroys and he vandalizes during the night. But let me tell you something. When the next morning rolls around, you take the crutches from Satan trying to destroy your vision. You throw them aside and say, "I'm going to get up and do something with my life." He's a dream destroyer. He's a dream destroyer. You had a dream that your children would do something good with their lives. But children have a will of their own. I can't make my kids do right. Oh, they're easier to handle when they're little, but when they begin to grow up, you watch out now. They will choose to do what they want to do. Hopefully they'll choose what God wants, but they're going to make the choice. You had a dream. Hey, think of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve had two children. And you know the story. I'm sure Adam and Eve had those kids and they had dreams and they had desires for their children. I know they wanted their children to serve God. I know they were the first kids. How fantastic. And one day, Cain killed his brother. Stop and think about it. Adam and Eve reared the first murderer. Wow. Do you not think that Eve cried herself to sleep at night and said, "Adam, where did we go wrong?
happen. I mean, we tried to teach him to respect God, and what happened? You know, I'm glad that Adam and Eve didn't throw in the towel. Because Abel turned out to be a good boy. He was a pretty good boy. Cain had killed his brother, but Abel was a very decent kid. And I hope to God that Adam and Eve went on. There was another child named Seth. You know something? The devil comes to us and he takes our dream. And if he gets his way, he'll destroy our dreams, thereby trying to destroy us. Some of you, your dream for maybe a child, and you say, Brother Owens, it's so heavy on my thinking. You rise up and you go on in life and you do something good with your life. Don't you let the devil destroy you. You had a dream for your life. There was something you wanted to do with your life, and you remember, you just place your hand on your chest as long as your heart's beating and you're breathing air, God still has a plan for your life. Men, as I travel across the country, I come across men that have stepped out of the ministry because certain things have occurred. They had a dream. They may never pastor again. But a man like that, if he's not careful, he'll let that thing get him down to the point that he doesn't serve God at all. He's numb, sits back, and he watches. And I say to that man, you may not be able to do all you once could, but you can still do something and rise up and walk and do something good with the rest of your life. Get up and do what you can. He had a dream for a storybook marriage. But it didn't turn out that way. Life has knocked you down. Mistakes and sins have knocked you down. You've been wounded. Arise and walk. Arise, get up. God never intended for you to mourn the rest of your life. He wants you to get up and do something with your life. I have to tell you this. A woman goes to the local newspaper office to see that the obituary for her recently deceased husband is published. The editor informs her that there is a charge of 50 cents per word. She pauses, reflects, and then she says, well, then let it read, Fred Brown died. Three words, $1.50. Amused at the woman's thrift, the editor tells her that there is a 7-word minimum for obituaries. She thinks it over, and in a few seconds she says, well, in that case, let it read, Fred Brown died. Golf clubs for sale. Maybe you had a dream. Maybe you had a dream in regard to a business venture. Something that you were going to do. You were going to build a business. And maybe you have been crushed by failure. I knew of a man who had built a business in a matter of a few years was worth millions and millions of dollars. And then overnight, he lost $7 million and was crushed to nothing. Do you know something? He didn't let it get him down. You know what he started doing? He started traveling the country teaching a lesson called How to Lose $7 Million in 24 Hours. Because not very many people have done that. He said, don't do this, and don't do this, and don't do this, and people flocked. They flocked to him to come where he could say, let me tell you where I went wrong. Let me tell you how I made a mistake. Let me tell you what caused me to fail. And they came and he made his millions of dollars back. Why? He got knocked down, but he wasn't knocked out. He decided, okay, I'm down on my knees, but I'll crawl up again. I'll scratch. I'll kick. I'll get up again. I'll make something of my life. Oh, Christian, arise and walk this morning. Arise and walk. Hey, arise and walk, those of you who have never walked before. I'm talking to those of you who have never launched out and did anything for God. Maybe I'm talking to some of the newly saved people here. I challenge you today, though you have never walked or ran much for God, I challenge you to get up and do something for God. Don't cower in the background. Rise up and do something. Arise and walk. I challenge some of you. You're saved. But you're always on the sidelines. Never involved. Never do anything. You show up for church and that's it. I challenge you. Arise and walk. It's time for some of you to get off the bench and get in the game. Get off the bench and get in the game. I tell you what, Brother Davis, I don't like sitting on the bench. I don't like sitting on the bench. I want to play. I want to play. Give me a crack at it. Let me play. I want to play ball. I want to be a part of what's going on. It's time for some of you to get off the benches and get involved. It's time for some of you to arise for the first time in your life and play ball. Do something with your life. I don't understand this numb Christianity. I don't understand somebody wants to sit back and watch. I want to be involved. You say, I might get beat. I'd rather try and lose than to never try. Get off the bench. Do something with your life. See, I challenge you to arise and walk. Those of you who have never really walked, you've never really done anything for God, get off the bench. Get in the game. A boy played for his high school football team. And he never got to play much. Really didn't have much heart for it. Word came to the coach that the boy's daddy had died. And that the boy would not be at the next game because last game of the season was the day of his daddy's funeral. The day of the game, the boy showed up instead of going to the funeral. The coach said, son, what are you doing? He said, coach, I got to play today. Please. And the coach was so moved that the boy showed up to play ball instead of going to his dad's funeral. He said, I got to let this kid in the game. So they put the boy in the game. The first time he got the ball, he ran it for about 50 yards. The crowd's coming unglued. They're thinking, this kid's a sleeper. Where'd he come from? By the end of the game, he'd scored 3 touchdowns. And boy, everybody was going wild. The game was over. And this boy and the coach, they were walking back to the locker room. And the coach said, son, what in the world happened to you? He said, well, sir, see, my dad was blind. My daddy never got to watch me play football, but today I knew he was in heaven, and for the first time he's going to want to watch me play. I wanted to make sure the first time my daddy saw me come off the bench that I did something great with my life. Let me tell you something. Your heavenly Father, he's up in heaven. He's watching you. It's time for some of you to get off the bench and get involved and do something for your God. You've never experienced the winning of a soul for Jesus Christ. Arise and walk. You never experienced bringing a visitor to church. Arise and walk. Go to your neighbor. Bring him tonight. You've never experienced working on a bus route and helping to fill a red, white, and blue, star, and striped bus with little boys and girls that couldn't make it to church without help. Arise and walk. You never built a Sunday school class before. Arise and walk. What's holding you back? I'm telling you, folks, the devil's got us fooled into the fact that we can't do anything and that we're not important, and he's a liar and he's a deceiver. Some of you need to throw the crutches aside and say, I'm going to get up and make something out of my life. You never stood to testify to your family about the goodness of God. They therefore are not saved. It's time for some of you to arise and walk. You never asked God to use you to change the life of another human being. It's time for you to arise and walk. Hey, you never come to church enough to get victory over your sin. Arise and walk. Arise and walk. You've never read your Bible enough to change your life. Arise and walk. You've never prayed enough to really see God do something in your life. Arise and walk. If you're here today, and you're one of those Christians that maybe you're newly saved and you've not really gotten involved, you're a spectator, won't you come on out of the stands? Come on down to the field. Let's do some calisthenics. We'll get you stretched out a little bit so you don't hurt yourself. You come on down. Let's get you in shape. Let's get started here. Let's stop watching. Let's get involved. I am one of the poorest spectators in the world. You know, when I coached, I was more tired at the end of the game than my players. Boy, I'd be drenched in sweat. I just can't. I'm competitive. I can see two bugs racing down the sidewalk. I got to stop and cheer for one of them. And if mine's not winning, we'll fix it. And our competition is with the devil. I don't want him to win in your life or in my life or the life of our church. I want to pull the blinders off your eyes today and tell you folks, this crowd of people here, every single human being here, whether you're even trying to shut me off mentally right now or not, you need to arise and do something with your life. Rise up and decide that you're going to let God use you. We sing a song, Brighten the Corner Where You Are. You listen to me. Not all of you will stand and preach a message like I preached this morning, but every single person here, God has a purpose for your life. He wants to use you to make a difference for the cause of Christ. And I say to you, rise up out of your self-inflicted crippledness. Rise up if the devil's knocked you down. Rise up if somebody else has knocked you down. Rise up if you have never risen before. Rise up today and decide, I'm going to do something with my life. I don't want to be mediocre. I don't want to be average. Anybody can be average. Anybody can be mediocre. We need somebody to rise up and say, I want to see what God will do with my life. It's time for some of you to rise and walk. Arise and walk. If you're not born again today, I want to recommend that you arise and walk to Jesus Christ. If you're unsaved, in a moment we'll have an old-fashioned altar call. What will happen is the choir will sing a song of invitation. The congregation will stand. These men on the platform will leave their seats and they'll stand at the end of each aisle down front here. We'll invite you, if you've never been born again, to walk from your seat down this aisle and walk up to one of these men and say, I want to be born again. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again, how you can trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And you can get born again. Now the only walking you got to do is to receive Him, because you don't work your way to heaven. He did all the work. He died for you, was buried for you, and resurrected for you. You just trust Him as Savior. But my recommendation is that you leave your seat, walk down here, and meet the Savior and get born again. You've got to receive Him. There's some people in this building. You should arise and walk. Arise and walk. I wonder who, in this section to my far right this morning, I wonder who the Holy Spirit of God, I wonder who it is that He has reached deep within your heart and started to kindle a fire where the flames had almost gone out. Who is it over there? Who is it that God is trying to change your life today? Don't ignore Him. Let Him give you the energy and the strength to throw the crutches aside and rise up and do something great with your life. How about this section? Who is it today? How about in this section? Who is it today that will say, you know what, Brother Owens, I've been knocked down. For a little while I thought I was knocked out, but you know something? I'm going to climb up. I'm going to go another round with the devil. I'm going to try again. How about you over here? Who is it in this section or this section? You felt like the devil had knocked you down. You didn't think you were usable anymore. You didn't think God could do anything with your life. You just placed your hand on your heart. You begin to feel that heart beat. You feel the air rushing into your lungs and realize the God of the universe, He still wants to use you. Are you in the balcony today? Are you tucked away back where where I can barely see you, and you say, Brother Owens, I've been knocked down, but today something began to happen down inside my heart, and I think I'm going to get up. I'll crawl. I'll figure out a way. I'll get myself up. I'll go do something for God. How about you sit behind me this morning in this choir, and you say, Brother Owens, maybe I knocked myself down. Well, get up. Arise and walk, Christian. Arise and walk. Winners never quit and quitters never win. If you're not born again, you need to come to the Savior. Because the Savior is the prime example of arise and walk. They beat the stuffings out of him. They mocked him. Teased him. Belittled him. Scorned him. They drove nails in his hands, nails in his feet, a spear in his side, a crown of thorns on his brow. They beat him with staves. They humiliated him. They made him carry a cross. He died. They put him in a grave. And 3 days later, God said, Son, arise and walk. And up from the grave, he arose. And it doesn't matter how far down you get up if your father wants you to. And if you're still sucking air, baby, God has something for you to do with your life. Now arise and walk, Christian. Arise and walk. Arise and walk. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.